Hello and welcome to Mercy Echoes, the official podcast of Mercy International Association, or MIA. My name is Brenda Drum and I am MIA's Head of Communications. We are an organisation of the leaders of Mercy congregations, institutes and federations throughout the world, founded to serve the Sisters of Mercy, their associates and partners in ministry. MIA has its base in Baggot Street in Dublin, in the original House of Mercy opened by Catherine Macaulay in 1827. If you would like to get in touch with us about our podcast, please email brendadrum@mercyinternational.ie. On this episode of Mercy Echoes, I am joined by Sister Libby Fernandez, founder of Mercy Peddlers. Sister Libby is based in Sacramento in California. She joined me to tell me about her work with Mercy Peddlers, but I began by asking her to tell me a little bit more about her life and ministry.
Well, I'm Sister Libby Fernandez, and I live here in Sacramento, California. I guess the biggest thing is, before I became a nun, which is 36 years ago, I was in the Air Force. So I did 7 years in the Air Force, and that's where I felt I found my true calling. Instead of wanting to fly jets, I wanted to serve God. And so when I left the Air Force Academy, I had to do a couple of years in the military. But in the same time, I started pursuing religious life in different orders. And I found Mercy right here in Sacramento. So I got my master's in social work here at Sac State in 1990. And I entered the Sisters of Mercy in 1990, right after I graduated. And since then, 36 years, I did 20 years at Loaves and Fishes as executive director there and worked most of my life there. I did about 7 years in Mercy Housing locally here in Sacramento. And then now we're doing 9 years Mercy Peddlers.
Now, I was going to ask you about Loaves and Fishes, but I feel I have to stop and ask you about the Air Force Academy. Did you fly? What did you do when you were in the air, in the academy?
I was there from 79 to 84, and it was the year that the first women graduated in 1980. So I saw the first women graduate. So it was a new opportunity for women, and I wanted to fly, but most of it was education. So I got my undergraduate, but I learned a lot about flying and Air Force life.
And is it something you've pursued as a hobby? Do you like to fly now, or?
I don't even like flying anymore the way it is nowadays. You know, it's just
yeah.
And most people want the window shut too. It's like, I can't even look outside anymore.
You mentioned Loaves and Fishes there. First of all, what a great name for an organization. Tell me a little bit about your 20 years there.
Well, Loaves and Fishes, just like it says, it's the miracle of the breaking of the bread, five loaves and two, whatever it is, five fish and two loaves, or five loaves and two fish. But it was started in 1983, and one of the first Sisters of Mercy worked with the founders, who was a Catholic worker, a former priest, and a former nun, and they wanted to serve those who were poor and hungry. So they opened up the first dining room here in Sacramento in 1983, and the Sisters of Mercy have been volunteering and working there ever since. So we're really kind of part of the original group. And now Loaves and Fishes, there's lots of Loaves and Fishes across the United States, and I'm not sure about Europe, but they have the same name, but they're all different nonprofits, but most of them feed the hungry. So we use Matthew 25 and also the Works of Mercy. So here at our Loaves and Fishes, we do all of the Works of Mercy. So we have a campus, five acre campus with 14 programs, from Mustard Seed School for homeless children, to a jail visitation, to a dining room, to a small shelter, to mental health counseling, jail visitation, and showers for men, a day shelter for women. So we just do everything on the campus. Yeah, and
Well, it sounds amazing. Yeah,
after
I mean, we
coffee.
have similar things in Dublin. Who, the Capuchin Day Centre springs to mind. I mean, they do. They're a day centre, but they do kind of Christmas hampers, and they bring in a doctor and a dentist every so often,
Yes.
and a barber and stuff like that. Yeah. Will you introduce Mercy Peddlers? Because I know a lot of people listening to this will know. A lot of people from the Mercy world would know, but there may be some people who don't know what Mercy Peddlers is and what you do. Will you explain a little bit about Mercy Peddlers?
Absolutely. So before I left Loaves and Fishes, I was re on retreat, and I was asking God, "Well, where do you want me to go next? Where's my heart desiring to serve?" And so on this retreat, I looked at what I want to do and what I didn't want to do. And one of the things I wanted to do was continue working with those who are homeless. And I love biking. I like the Sacramento area. And I thought, well, why can't I do outreach by bikes? So that's what we did. Mercy, Sisters of Mercy, peddlers. We peddle and bring mercy to the streets. And now we're a nonprofit with over 200 Mercy Peddlers who are all volunteers, and they go out at least once a week, serving those people in their area. And I usually go out every morning on my regular route in the downtown area of Sacramento. Now, in California, we have 25% of all those who are homeless living in California. So across the whole United States, 25% live here in California. We have over 10,000 here in Sacramento. So our job is endless, and you can go almost any corner and find someone who is in need of service.
Now, can I ask you about why peddlers are not the easy option of a car or a branded van?
Well, I like biking. It actually keeps you in shape too. But you can actually maneuver and park easier. So we use trikes. We can go down sidewalks, alleys. We can go left, go right. We can stay wherever we want as long as we want with the person there. We don't have to worry about parking. So we get off our bikes and on my bike, and you can have, I'm sure you've seen photos, and you can use it as many photos as you want. I have an adult trike with a custom-made cabinet on the back. And when I open up the cabinet, it has a little sharing table, and I have coffee, hygiene items, snacks, all sorts of nutritional items and hygiene items from soap to shampoo. And we have a conversation with people that you're meeting right there as you encounter them. So it's so convenient to bike where you're at. And I can get many, many miles and see many, many people in different territories on bikes.
And do you track the amount of bike miles that you do in an average week?
Well, yeah, because I usually do the same route. So I do about 10 miles a day. So, 50 miles a week.
What does an average day look like for you when you're out on the bike? I mean, is it an early
Well,
start?
oh, absolutely. So I get up early. It takes about 45 minutes to make the coffee. So I get up and start making the coffee and getting my trike ready for takeoff at 8 o'clock. And once I leave my place, right here where I live is where I operate from. So I can just ride my trike out the back door and I'm serving people already. So I have this route that I go on downtown, mainly on the main streets. And I don't switch too much because we've been doing it for 9 years now, and some people kind of look forward to us meeting them down that corner. And I can see a lot of people on this route. So it takes about 2 hours. And I go from one street to the next street and stopping along the way and meeting and encountering those who are living on the streets, those who are poor and homeless. And we have a conversation. I'll say, you want a cup of coffee? Oh, I love a cup of coffee. Great, great. How about a nutritional bar with that? And then we just have a conversation. Then yeah, I always leave that conversation, that particular moment, with how else can I help you? Because that's the deeper question. The more you get to know someone, the deeper the questions get and the answers. One day it'd be say, no, I'm good. I don't need anything else. The next day it could be, can I use your phone to call my mom? And the next day it could be, how do I get into a shelter? So the conversation becomes real, and we really use our outreach resources to try to help people get off the streets.
And when you talk to people who are homeless, I mean, what is the thing that they are most grateful to you for? Is it that conversation and sharing at table?
Absolutely. It's that presence, that real dignified eye-to-eye contact, that you are being recognized. And I hear that all the time from people I serve. It's like, thank you for being there. You know, I just came to say, I don't need anything. I just want to say hi. You know, I mean, it's a real sense of I am somebody. I matter. I am human. I care. You care. I care. We both care together.
It is, I mean, it's a very, it's the very, very simple thing, but it is, it's extraordinary. Yeah.
Yes.
And
And
do you see what sort of age groups, what's the age range that you would see in terms of youngest to oldest that would be
Yes, not too many children because obviously they shouldn't be on the streets with the parents, and we'll direct them in the right direction if we do see a family. But they could be some of the younger folks who are what we call graduated from the foster care system. So, you know, they really don't have a home, they don't have a college education, they don't really have a lot of resources, and so they wander on the streets trying to find themselves. They're very difficult to work with and to try to find housing because they really don't know what they want yet. They're so young, they're just searching and looking. And so they do a lot of transitioning, a lot of moving around, and not too stable to be placed into a home or a room and board. So that's one group. And then we have generally the most people are between 50 and 60 years old, men and women, more men than women. People of color, lot of mental illness, a lot of drug addictions, a lot of disabilities, physical disabilities, mental health disabilities.
Are you able to stay in touch with people as they come to you saying, this is what I need today, I want to phone somebody or I want to ask about shelters? Like, are you able to follow up and kind of see them kind of coming into a maybe a better place for themselves?
Oh yes, and I always give them my card and say, "Hey, please call me, you know, and let me know how you're doing." And I usually can pay for their security deposit or their rent, or give them a welcoming gift for their new place. So I always encourage them to keep in contact with me because I can bring them more resources too once they're in the stable housing.
That's
And
great.
we just keep connecting with the different nonprofits and make sure everyone's you know, working together.
Yeah. Joined up thinking, yeah. We have a saying here in Ireland that there is no such thing as bad weather, just the wrong clothing. So how what happens when you are challenged by the elements? Can you still go out as Mercy Peddlers or do you have to shift?
No, I go, you know, that's one thing about California, and that's why there's so many people who are homeless in
Okay.
our state is because of the weather. You can
Yeah.
live all year long in California outside because the
Okay.
weather's pretty mild for the most part. So we might have some few rainy days, but I'll go out anyway because they're out there and they really appreciate a good hot a cup of coffee in the morning when it's raining. You know, as long as it's not hazardous for me on my trike. You know, if it's too windy, it's just not feasible to go outside
And
when
what
the
about
weather.
extremes of heat? I mean, are you noticing
It's
extremes of
terrible. We
heat?
can
Yeah.
get 2 weeks where it's 100 degrees and higher, centurion heat.
Yeah.
And that's really hard on people on the street. So we tend to give out a lot of water too.
And sunscreen?
Sunscreen, yes, we have
Yeah.
sunscreen, water caps. And we try to find out where they can go out of the heat on hot heat days. And if there's cold days, there's places where they can go during the day too. They try to open up maybe a library or something like that. But usually we have a couple resources for people to get off out of the elements, which only happens a couple times a year.
Now, what are the things that you always carry in your basket, saddle bag, or backpack when you go out?
Yes, the main things is something nutritional to eat, you know, some sort of liquid, water or coffee, and believe it or not, having tissue paper is very essential. So we can't keep a lot of those individual pack tissues because it's toilet paper, and chapstick, any hygiene items we give out. And our guests are really good about only picking what they need. So we don't make a big bag and say, here's your bag, because some of that stuff they don't need and they don't need to
Yeah.
carry. So they get to pick what they want and how much. So it works out pretty good.
Isn't there a wonderful humility and lesson in that when we live in such a grabbing and greedy society where it's all about more, bigger, larger. I mean, there's an extraordinary just humility in that.
And the simple things like I have a bag full of socks, a box, actually, it's kind of more of a container full of socks so they can see from white to black to colorful socks. And you don't give them a pair of socks, you have them select the sock they want. So they get their choice. Might not be a big choice, but between black and white, they got that choice of what color socks they want. And so they're empowered to really choose what they want, which is very empowering.
And very simple, but hugely empowering.
Absolutely. And that's why when I'm serving on the streets, it's all about the eye-to-eye contact and the relationship. So if someone's sleeping and it's early in the morning, I don't wake them up because sleep is so important. And I don't leave a cup of coffee just by them there. I just don't serve. It's all about the relationship. When you wake up, I'll maybe catch them on the way back so that they know that it's a one-on-one contact.
Yeah, so it's not just you're not just going out and doing a tick box. I left that and I passed that. Yeah, I love that. What sort of things? I mean, do they know that you're a sister? Do they talk to you about faith?
Oh,
What are yeah.
absolutely, absolutely. And as you know, with your education and experience in working with religious, not too many people see a religious person anymore. They've never seen a nun, they've never seen a priest. So those who are familiar with it really get it. Oh, yeah, you're a sister, you're a nun, you're a sister of mercy. So it's not as well known amongst those who are homeless, and there's not a lot of Catholics who are homeless, but they have faith. That's the biggest thing, is they have faith. And so I'll carry rosaries and I'll give out a rosary, and they don't know what to do with the rosary, but they want it because it's a faithful symbol to them. And any of our peddlers, they come from different faiths. Some are Jewish, some are some are Protestant. We have so many different faiths-based mercy peddlers, so they connect with anyone on the streets who want to share their faith. We don't prophesize, but we share. If you have a question on faith, we'll share. If you want to pray, they'll say, "Hey, can you pray for me?" I said, "Well, let's pray
Yeah.
together." So we bring it at their level and what they want, and we share a lot of ourselves with them.
And I would imagine you take intentions away with you sometimes as well.
Well, I definitely pray for everyone. And I tell them when I leave, I say, "You're in my prayers today. I met you because you are on my path that God sent me to you today, and you are my book of prayers today." And I mean that, and I'm sincere about that when I tell people I am praying for them.
Now, you've been a lifelong advocate for people who find themselves living in a homeless situation. What frustrates you about the society we live in that so many people are on the verge of or are already homeless?
It's shockingly hard every day and every year, every decade. It just goes on and on, some of the major problems that we have. And it could be not just in the United States, but could be in Ireland. Affordable housing. There's so lack of affordable housing that there's a new group of people who are on the verge of becoming homeless because they can't afford to live where they're living. And so we're talking people who are already on the streets will never be able to afford decent housing. So we don't build enough housing. So we know part of the biggest issue is there's not enough housing for people and that they can afford.
Yeah, it's a huge issue here in Ireland as well. What keeps you going in this work that you're doing?
Well, the faith is good. It's always good to wake up and light your candles and pray and ask God for direction, and that, just like Thomas Merton, you hope that you are the seed, and you never know what the results are, but you pray that you'll be out there planting those seeds every day. And that gives me hope. I really believe in my faith. I love the Sisters of Mercy. I believe in our mission and the works of mercy. We even take four vows. Unlike other communities, we take poverty, celibacy, obedience, and our fourth one is service to the poor, sick, and uneducated. That is so important to know that we have a fourth vowel, and I love living by that those vowels.
Now, you mentioned early on in the interview that you asked God, like, where do you want me to go next? Are you ever worried about the answer that will come to you from that question?
Well, yes, there's always a fear because it's like the fear is, where am I going? I'm not there yet. But when it does happen, it's like it's so amazing. It's like, wow, it's working. I never knew Mercy Peddlers would be so workable, that was be so attracted to many people, to many communities, and well received by those who are on the streets. So the fact that it's working is amazing. It's a miracle, I think. And I hope to continue this as long as I can and stay healthy.
Well, all those mi bike miles that you're doing are certainly contributing to that. I don't think I'd like to take you on a bike, any kind of a bike, even an electric bike. I don't think I'd take you on.
And I'm 65 years old, and I'm hoping to at least, well, I always do things in chunks, so I'm hoping that, God willing, that I can do this for at least another 10 years, so I'll be 75, and then go from there. Then I'll be on that mountain again, reflecting and asking God, where am I going now?
And hoping for a an
So
interesting
call me in
and
10 years, okay?
not too scary answer to that question. And I'm assuming that you at some point that you will step away, but I it sounds like you have more than future-proofed the organization for the next 10, 20, 30 years. Obviously homelessness is not going away anytime soon, as we know. But I presume you're confident that the organization can and will continue.
Yes, we get a lot of financial support by community members. The local community donors who give on a regular basis. It's just amazing. To me, that's a miracle too, that people will give $25, once a month for the last 7 years. So it's just, I find it very amazing that the monies keep coming. And I believe in the bank of faith, and so I don't worry too much about that. I just keep doing what we're doing, and it's working.
That sounds like a very Catherine Macaulay thing to say.
Yeah, you got it. And yeah. And Mary Baptist Russell, she's from Kinsale, Ireland, and she founded the California Mercies. And she was a pioneer and a trooper, and she would give her own mattress away to those on the streets.
It's wonderful. I mean, as we come into celebrating the 200th anniversary of the founding of the house next year, I'm loving learning about all these threads that you can link and pull and sort of stitch all the way back to Catherine Macaulay, that her vision and her mission and her spirit is continuing in people like yourself. It's wonderful.
Amen. And all from little place in Ireland.
Yeah. Yeah. My final question to you is there Is there has there been something that one of the people that you've met on your Mercy Peddler rounds has said to you that has profoundly stayed with you or affected you or maybe spurred you on a day that maybe it was things were feeling a bit difficult? Is there something that maybe somebody has said to you or something that has stayed with you from an encounter?
Yes, and it's a miracle story in itself. Is when I was at Loaves and Fishes, I started a mental health program called Genesis Mental Health. So I used to do one-on-one counseling, and there was a woman that I was counseling who was previously she was homeless, and I helped her back. And I'm talking 20 years ago, and 9 years ago. She contacted me, said, I want to be a Mercy Peddler. It's like, and so today she is a Mercy Peddler. And it's just a miracle. I just think about it, no matter where you're at, you never know who you touch and where they'll show up in your life 20 years later. And she's a dynamic Mercy Peddler who used to be homeless, and just loves serving others.
What a wonderful full circle moment. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. It is a it's a lovely miracle story. Well, I have taken up enough of your time, and I know that you need to either get ready for your rounds tomorrow, but it's been a real pleasure to chat to you for our podcast.
You too, Brenda. Yeah, love it. And whatever you need, just let me know, and you can take from all the photos you want from my Facebook page and all that stuff.
Before I let you go, is there a website where people can log on and maybe be inspired by what you're doing and cut and paste it for maybe somewhere else that they are in the world?
It would be great. So go to www.mercypetalers.com. You'll see our wonderful website, and you can contact me directly from the website. You can check it out, and I'd love to take anyone out who comes to visit. But you can call me too, or email me, and I'll talk to anyone who wants to start a new chapter somewhere else, like in Ireland.
Very good. Well, I can't promise I'll ever be with you in Sacramento, but if I do make it that far, I will go out with you. And who knows? I definitely think it's something that could be very easily cut and paste into any other country in the world. So, Sister Libby, I've loved chatting to you. I could chat to you all day. And happy mercy peddling.
Thank you and happy anniversary. God bless you. Bye-bye.
That was Sister Libby Fernandez coming to us from Sacramento in California. And if I was to take one thing from that interview, it would be that openness that Sister Libby has, that simple phrase she asked God, "Where do you want me to go next?" And also what she said towards the end of the interview, "You never know who you touch and where they show up in your life 20 years later." So that's it for episode 13 of Mercy Echoes. I hope that you enjoyed our chat. We will be back with you soon with more voices from the Mercy world. Do give us a follow on Spotify. In fact, why not hit subscribe so as the next episode will land in your inbox? You can find out more on our website, mercyworld.org. In the meantime, if you want to get in touch to suggest a theme or a guest from the Mercy world that we can invite onto the podcast, please drop me an email, brendadrum@mercyinternational.ie. Until next time, it's goodbye from me.